In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? I want to thank all of you who were so kind and caring last week when I was a little bit under the weather. It turns out I had some sort of little stomach bug going on, and it was nothing serious, and all on demand, so my wife made me some chicken soup and that, and a little banana nut bread, and football, and my dog, and that was all curative, so to speak. So back on 2 feet and standing up and moving forward, making progress. Last week we heard in John's Gospel the call of two of the disciples, Philip and Nathanael. And the reason we heard from John's Gospel last week is because Mark's Gospel that we use in year B in the lectionary cycle is very short. And from time to time it needs to be supplemented with other passages because it wouldn't extend in a logical way throughout the liturgical year. And so it may seem rather odd that last week we heard about the call of Nathanael and Philip, and then this morning we heard in Mark's Gospel the call of Peter and Andrew and John and James. And of course, we know Peter was the first called, and his brother Andrew, our patron saint, both of them in the stained glass back there, were the two initially called, and then James and John as well. But before we get to the call of James and John and Peter and Paul, and Andrew, we have to understand how the transition has taken place. So John the Baptist has been arrested, and of course he was arrested for criticizing the king Herod, and later he's beheaded. But John's ministry was a static one. People were coming to him to receive the baptism of repentance. He was down by the River Jordan, as we heard in the accounts, twice. In the course of the last couple of months, people were coming to receive that baptism of repentance. And as he was wont to do, John the Baptist is always pointing beyond himself to the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come. And Mark makes no bones about the fact of the immediacy of the moment, the immediacy of the kingdom of God breaking in. The kingdom of God meaning the eschatological understanding that a new era was dawning. And so as John was the last of the great prophets, the prophets and the law were to pass away because the fulfillment of the law and the prophets had come in the person of Jesus Christ. He is both the message and the messenger. And so now he picks up where John left off, and he's calling people to be repentant as well and to receive and proclaim the good news of God in Christ, the good news of the gospel. And yet the irony is he himself is the good news, and the repentance that he is calling people to is that they turn their lives around, away from their own ways, away from the political understanding of the time, of the culture, and focus purely and completely on God himself and the mission that is set before them. So how are they called? Well, in understanding biblically, through biblical scholars and others, some suggest that Jesus had some contact with Peter and Andrew and John and James beforehand. Somehow he knew them and kind of was going to cajole them to, you know, pick up the ministry and go forward because Jesus needed some help. Just like, you know, I'm going to cajole some of you to be on the vestry because we have annual meeting coming up, and you may hear me go buzz, 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 you know, you need to answer this calling and, you know, that sort of thing. And it's a good thing because we need strong leadership to move forward with the mission God has given us to do. But I like to think, and I'm just kind of a romantic, I like to think that when Jesus approached Peter and Andrew and James and John, there was an immediacy in their hearts. There was a sense of conversion and of purpose, and that they immediately left what they were doing to answer the call that Jesus had put to them. And that makes sense. I mean, they left their nets. If you read the gospel strictly, you know, literally, if you will, in terms of the way it's presented, and Mark doesn't give us very many details whatsoever, but they immediately left their nets. James and John not only immediately left theirs, but they left their father as well and left him with the servants to continue on. I like to think that that call that Jesus issued to the four disciples was a conversion of the heart, if you will, and they responded with faith and with depth to move forward to help Jesus do the ministry he was given to do. Now, we're all offered calls. We're all called to do something. In the Great Litany that was written by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, there's one of the petitions that says, "Inspire us, O Lord, in our several callings, that we may do the work you have given us to do with singleness of heart and for the common good." Now, we all have jobs, professions, vocations, that sort of thing. Before I went to seminary, I did many things. I ordered groceries for the Air Force Commissary at Andrews Air Force Base. I delivered pizzas. I cleaned toilets. I cleaned windows. I washed windows in the dead of winter. None of those were really a calling. they were, you got to do it sort of thing. And callings are not limited to the clergy. You all had vocations, and I said professions, medicine, academia, teaching, whatever it might be. But those are one thing that we are given to do. We're called to do other things as well. We're called in the church to sing in the choir, which I screwed up. It's not here this morning, nor is Wayne. Or we're called to play in the praise band. Or we're called to be, you know, lectors or lems. Or we're called to be in the vestry. We're called to be delegates to the convention. But we're called for a greater purpose as well. We're called to serve the common good of the community, for the needs of others, for the relief of the poor, and for care for those who need to know and understand that the Lord Jesus is there for them. And sometimes we don't discern that call properly, or sometimes we don't bother to discern that call to know what God has in mind for us to do. So, truth be told, when I received the call on the phone from the Diocese of San Diego, from Canon Allison Thomas, asking me if I wanted to be interviewed for a position at St. Andrews, I didn't jump up and down. I didn't at first. I did not. I didn't know you. I don't go, ooh, yet. The story ends good. So I said, sure, I will do that, because I sat in her office and she was very kind and good to me and listened to my transition story, which is this, that, and the other. And she asked me, would I consider this? And I said, yes, if the Holy Spirit moved me and I felt so called. She said, would you consider that? And I said, yes, if the Holy Spirit called me and I felt so called. But I didn't think I'd get the call so quick. So I said to Stephanie, my wife, my dear wife, I said, well, you know, I put myself out there. You know, now I'm a little hesitant. I don't know quite what to do. So I said, we prayed about it. I said, okay, you know, I'll interview. You know, what's the worst case scenario? You know, I can say, oh, you're nice people. You have a lovely building. I have other things in mind. Have a nice life. So that's, you know, you want to tell God your plans, you know, make him laugh. That's what you do. You tell him your plans. So, of course, long short, Jen was there for the whole thing. Bo was there for the whole thing. Matt was there. It was supposed to be kind of a brief, quick meeting. Like, I think it was like 2 hours later or something like that. You know, we're still chatting, having a great time. I felt like I knew him forever. Felt like, you know, God was calling me to this place. But I was hesitant at first. But God has good things in mind. So I'm here, and you're here. Now I know you. You know me. It's a good thing. We go forward. But we still have a calling to understand together. You have individual callings in terms of your vocation, your ministry, what God has in mind for you. But I believe we have a larger calling corporately as well, as what it means to be St. Andrew's Parish Church in La Mesa in 2018. And as, you know, my boundaries were pushed a little bit to come and interview and do that whole thing, as the boundaries, and I'm not equating the two by any stretch of the imagination, but as the boundaries of Andrew and Peter and John and James and Nathaniel and Philip and the rest of the disciples were stretched, I mean, they didn't know what they were getting into, and had they known what they were getting into, they might have turned tail and ran the other way. And, you know, I'm not going to do that, so there's not a parallel to the story. I'm into it now. It's all good. But we're working together for the common good, remember that. But corporately, we have a calling, too. And so I believe, as I wrote in my report for the annual meeting, I believe that the greatest gift that you all have and the calling that you're responding to is faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Without doubt, or without question, or without waver. And in the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the truth of the gospel, meaning that we're sinners, we fall short of the glory of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us, that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised for us, and that we go forward in the Holy Spirit to glorify his name in this life and in eternal life as well. But as a parish, we also have a calling. And I think our calling is both to our community, as Ar said, to take care of the relief of the poor and the needs of others. But I think we also have a calling, and I'd like you to pray about this and discern this as well. I think we have a calling to be the parish, or one of the few parishes in the Diocese of San Diego, that stands up for the fullness of the gospel truth that I had just said. You know, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. And I assure you, and I'm not knocking any other parishes and that sort of thing, but there are more than a few, and Jen can attest to this about clergy and that. People don't believe the fullness of the gospel. And sadly, some of the clergy as well. And that's a shame, and that's a crying shame. But we've been given a gift. You have been given a gift. You've given the gift to me as you witness to the faith of the saints once delivered. So I hope part of our vision, part of our calling, as St. Andrew's Church in La Mesa in 2018, is that we will continue to witness to that truth of the fullness of the gospel. And we won't be ashamed about that, and we carry that forward. And we show that as a beacon of faith, of hope, of light, and life in Jesus Christ. I'd like that to be our common vision together as we move forward. And I want us to live into that calling that God has offered to us in the fullness of his love, the fullness of his grace, and the fullness of what he has in mind for us to do. So as we move forward to the annual meeting and beyond, I'd like you to pray about that. I'd like to put that on your hearts as we go forward together as God's people in this faith community, in this place, at this time, because we have been given a gift, we have been called, and we need to be sent in his most precious name to proclaim that, and to proclaim it, I believe, boldly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.